Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
So I came primarily to advocate for you to vote no, because putting the our faith, the city's faith, your constituents' faith, in a person who has no trust of the people right now as far as his commitment to affordable housing, someone who ghosted Just Pensacola just last year and then came and essentially told the Just Pensacola congregation, in my opinion, the comments seem to be, I'm doing my best, and if you don't like my methods, I'm sorry, I'm doing my best though. I'm gonna try to do even if you don't agree with my methods. Well, the constituents of the city have a right to have opinions on your methods.
So, at the city council meeting on Thursday, you had this conversation about the Malcolm Young Gym property, which of course is no longer the Malcolm Young Gym property. It's now just the property at Above Address. And that was actually something that got brought up in the council meeting, not by the members of the public, but by Charles Baer, saying, kind of giving the impression that he thought there were weird things going on. There were odd things afoot at the Circle K and, at the city council meeting. And, he thought some of those things contributed to an air of illegitimacy, my words, not his, surrounding the whole conversation of how to dispose of the Malcolm Young Gym property, or the former Malcolm Young, the property formerly known as the Malcolm Young Gym, if you prefer.
I have to say it's been an interesting evening. I have never had a staff member read an entire summary from a memorandum into the record. I think unprecedented.
That was, he's talking about David Forte, assistant city manager. David Forte read an entire, it was quite long, sort of the parameters of the memorandum regarding the process of putting affordable housing onto this property through the community land trust that's kind of in connection with Habitat for Humanity.
It's not on this item is all the prior action that's taken place. It's as if we wanted to whitewash it and not put in the reference to Malcolm Young. It's been mentioned tonight. Mr. Young mentioned it. Others in here mentioned it. It's like we just want to put the address.
Yeah, which if you read just the agenda, it doesn't say Malcolm Young Gym, which I'm always of the opinion that agendas for any municipal board, whether it's a county commissioner or a city council or ECUA, it does not matter. Like if I were making the decisions, I would want them to be as clear and transparent to the public as they can possibly be, the way a headline on a newspaper article ought to be clear and transparent and tell you, do I need to read this story? Right? As opposed to grabbing your attention, or as opposed to making you not pay attention because it's under descriptive. I actually kind of agree with Charles Baer, just in this sense. The headline of the item should say to anybody who's actually willing to go read the agenda, that's already like way above average citizenship participation. It ought to be as easy as possible for you to realize, oh, I want to pay attention to that. Oh, I don't care about that at all. And so I agree with the criticism. I just don't agree that it makes it, whitewashing. I can easily see that probably the staff had made the decision, well, it's not really the Malcolm Young Gym property anymore. Let's just put the address on it. So, okay.
I don't support it going into affordable housing. I fully support the mayor's efforts and staff's efforts for other parcels, including the former Baptist healthcare property, the Motor Lodge. I was very supportive of those, but this particular piece of property.
He doesn't agree with going forward with this one, and he says, and he said this before, these conversations are conversations we've had a couple of times now, but he says, look, we've built a bunch of, not community centers really, we call them that, but they're really event spaces. Like the Sanders Beach, it's not really a community center. It's like a meeting space. And Bayview has some like activity elements, but it's mostly a meeting space. And what we need is, real community centers.
I'm not going to support it because I feel like what we have done recently as a city is built activity centers or places where people can have an event centers and not utilized our facilities for gym space, and I feel like that's what we really need. And I don't think we can, as it was mentioned by one of the public members, I don't think we have the money right now to build a new gym there. But I don't know. We might not have that in the future.
Yeah, and his idea apparently is if you just don't carve up the property or turn it into the land trust or whatever, or into a part of the land trust, then maybe in the future you could actually rebuild a gym there, though right now we certainly can't afford it. Other members of the public who had shown up, Council Member Emeritus Sherry Myers.
I'm at the point right now, I'm on a fixed income. I cannot afford to live in my house. I told my homeowner's insurance company that they have raised my homeowner's insurance. I cannot afford to live in that house. I have two choices, either sell it or rent it out and move someplace else. And I'll tell you, this Escambia County is not affordable.
But I think she was actually opposed to this, if I remember correctly. But she raises a point, you know, that the price of home insurance has, in some cases, people who are on the margin of affordability for their home, the price of home insurance and plus the price of, you know, ad valorem taxation, but more so insurance has priced them out. I don't mean to be a stickler, but she could, of course, go without insurance. Not a very not a great option, but that is a third option that she didn't mention. Now, I thought it was very interesting. Sam Young, CEO of Habitat for Humanity, talked about this idea of the land trust in the beginning of the meeting.
The beauty of the land trust, and you've heard me say this before, is it simultaneously reduces the cost of home ownership because it eliminates the cost of the land. And for the first time, and there are a lot of examples where there was good intent and there was vision, but there is no possibility of maintaining that affordability with any vehicle except for a community land trust.
So the idea of the land trust is that the trust, which is sort of a servant of the city, okay, but the trust owns the land. Therefore, the people who, you know, if their house is built on the land, the houses, whatever mortgage might be for the improvements and structures, don't have to include the cost of the land, and so that reduces the price of the home. And then if you put restrictions on who can buy these homes based on their income, and you put this stuff into perpetuity, then all of a sudden what you've got is a kind of an ongoing government subsidy of sorts, in the sense that the government is foregoing the taxes on the land and the cost of financing the land, and therefore the homes are cheaper for people. And that's the idea of the land trust, is how do you make it not just affordable first time for somebody who buys it and builds, but for somebody who ongoing for 30 or 40 years, how do you keep the price of this particular land, of this particular house, down?
Big component of that is it can only be sold to another income qualified individual. So if 51% of these homes are going to be for 80% or below, 51% of these homes will always be reserved for individuals and families not exceeding 80% of the area median income.
Currently, the AMI is 72,000, so 80% of that would put you in the like 56, 57 range. And so only people who make less than that a year would be even eligible to purchase these homes. So, I mean, it's a very interesting proposal. I think this is likely what the mayor is going to want to do with some other properties that have been under, you know, discussion and or in varying parts of sale, like the church property or the Motor Lodge property or other properties that might come available. The public, for its part, is kind of interesting because there's been this very small, very high engagement group of people in Pensacola who have shown up to these meetings, historically kind of affiliated with the People's Party of Reform or Liberation, the kind of self-described socialists or communists historically. I don't really hold that against them. I'm just telling you that there's this group that kind of shows up. And some of them showed up again. And one of them in particular, Charlie Dial, who I kind of like him. I think he's a very articulate spokesperson. I don't tend to agree with him much, but, you know, he showed up and, you know, after talking about why he was against this decision, and, you know, these folks have also said historically they're very much in favor of affordable housing. The first voice you heard there, Deshaun McKenzie, was the one saying, you know, we think that Mayor Reeves is not a good broker for this deal because he hasn't shown a sincerity to work with various activists in this regard, and we don't really trust him to broker this deal. But okay, Charlie Dial actually goes so far as to say,
we'll never come to another city council meeting if the Malcolm Young Gym property is replaced by actual affordable housing, like like Section 8 or like sub 1,000 a month, like affordable housing, you will never hear from me again. Thank you.
Which, you know, the sort of jaded view, somebody might say, oh man, sign the deal, get rid of them. They have an entitlement to come. They have an entitlement to express their viewpoint, no matter whether you agree with them, disagree with them, or think they're ludicrous in their viewpoint. I actually think that, you know, I disagree with them quite a bit, but they're certainly welcome at the city council meetings. And so I kind of liked the way DC reacted to that.
A comment for the record. Number one, what we're voting on is the most beefed up affordable housing project that's ever existed in the history of the city. Number one. And number two, certainly always welcome to come to any city council meeting just when all these houses are built and they're sold to families that are all qualified for affordable. We'd love to have you come back and celebrate. So thank you for being here.
Now, just a little bit of dig, you know, snarkiness there, like, hey, when this all works out and it turns out that you were wrong, come back and celebrate with us. But he really believes that's going to happen. And so it's, you know, it's only just a teeny bit snarky. Jen Brer, city council member Jen Brer. Remember, Charles Bear so far is the only one who's really expressed opposition to this. And during their discussions, Jen Brer, city councilwoman, says,
It's not fair to assess this council's attempt at affordable housing or this mayor's attempt at affordable housing when none of us have attempted this before. This is new grounds. So for all of us up here, this is extremely new grounds.
And, you know, criticism that the past councils and past mayors have said they would do stuff and then hadn't from the public or had really betrayed their promises. Or the example of Aragon Court was used, taking kind of a poor neighborhood and turning it into a super ritzy neighborhood. And several city council members, and rightly so, said that's just not what this is. And it's a completely unfair characterization. Even Charles Bear said that. Allison Patton, District 6.
You know, there really aren't too many opportunities or too many ways to create housing other than some sort of subsidy. And in our case, we have some land. We don't have anywhere near enough, in my view, to really do this affordable housing at scale. And this piece of property is something that we can use for that. And so I find it somewhat ironic that all of our affordable housing folks and the people who think that's important are actually against using this property for that purpose.
Yeah, because again, these groups have been coming repeatedly complaining that the city's not doing anything for affordable housing. And then those same groups were opposed to the demolition of the Malcolm Young Gym and are now maybe less vehemently, but still opposed to this deal, even though, as she says, this seems to be doing exactly what they have been asked to have done all of this time. Now, what I think they would say, particularly about the demolition of the gym itself, was, well, not at that price, you know, and we wanted to keep the gym. And of course, he raised the question, well, how much would the gym cost to repair? Is it feasible? How much? And, you know, there's all kinds of bad feelings on this subject because, for example, you know, they thought they had a counter offer from somebody who said that they could repair it, refurbish it for fairly cheap. And then the thing got kind of demolished on the quick, which they felt like that. And I actually tend to agree with them, thwarted their ability to file to run the petition to force the city council to actually have a vote by the city of whether it would keep the gym or not. But, you know, generally all of that is water under the bridge. The question is, well, what now? Right. What now with this property? Do you let it become affordable housing or do you not let it become affordable housing? And Allison says, why are you guys opposing this at this point?
You know, Just Pensacola, when they came to us in the first place a couple of years ago, proposed exactly this, a land trust. So I feel like we're actually moving in the direction that so many people wanted us to move in, and yet we're getting criticism because it's easy to criticize. It's hard to do.
Yeah, sort of, you know, can't please you if we go left, can't please you if we go right. We're going straight, and you say, that's not good. What do you want us to do? Back up? Just what's your solution, right? Jared Moore, City Councilman Jared Moore.
I took the position that we should not get rid of the gym, save a proposal like the one that's before us were possible. And so this evening I will vote to support this item because I believe it did. It hit the eye of the needle of checking the boxes of the things that would justify the loss of the gym, that there would be sufficient good to justify that difficult decision.
So he didn't want to see the gym demolished, but for or only if you could do something like this, and you can do something like this, so this is good. In the end,
and seeing no further speakers, let's vote. That item passes 6-1. Excuse me.
There you go. Charles Baer in dissent. Everybody else in favor. And so, and this is not the end of the process. The mayor still has to negotiate the terms, and then everything is going to come back to council ultimately to make the final disposition of the property. So this was to authorize him to get into that process, and that's sort of step one of several other steps, or step six of a couple more steps still to go. So we're not done yet, but that's where the conversation is, and that's where the, you know, the issues surrounding that particular property were at the city council meeting. 525 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, we do see some bugs around our house these days. You know, the heat brings them out. That's how that works. And so, you know, whether you got termites, you got ants, fire ants, you got spiders, cockroaches. I don't know. It could be rodents, snakes, or, you know, could be rats, mice. I don't know what you have to deal with. It could be mosquitoes. NSEC will take care of you. They will come out. They will look at the problem, they'll survey it, they'll tell you what they're going to do, and then they'll do it, right? And you decide whether it's worth them doing it. That's it. Fire ants, they got one treatment that'll take care of it for the whole year, guaranteed to protect the soil for a whole year against fire ants. Mosquitoes, they'll come out and identify what species is involved and tailor their program to and deal with the problem source areas, not just the what's in the air, but where are they coming from in the water. New annual pest control customers get $50 off with some restrictions, $25 off new annual fire ant contracts. NSEC, the estimates are always free. Find out more or sign up or make an appointment at NSEC, ENSEC.net.
Waiting for a great finance rate on a great Volkswagen? Well, the wait is over. Now at Feedmore Imports, eligible buyers can receive 0% APR for 60 months on the 2024 Volkswagen Taos. This sporty VW Taos S is waiting for you with 0% APR for 60 months or a discounted price of $24,491. And the 2024 Tiguan S discounted to $29,516 or take 2.9% APR for 60 months. The 24 Atlas Cross Sport SE with 2.9% APR for 60 months or a sale price of $36,206. And the Atlas SE with technology, now discounted $2,500 to $41,793 or take 2.9% for 60 months. Great Volkswagens, great rates, and a great family-owned dealership. Feedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate in lieu of discounts and for qualifying credit through VCI. Sale price before tax, title, and associated dealer fees. See dealer for details.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer whenever I want?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. 94% of Sleep Number smart sleepers report better sleep. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of Pensacola State College students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for the summer and fall semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu. Go here.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Silence, you ninny.
Hey, mama said the way you move gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove.
Good morning, 529 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Yes, I am. And good morning, guys. Jury deliberations expected to start today in former President Trump's hush money trial in New York. The judge will give his jury instructions this morning before those deliberations begin. President Biden and Vice President Harris will be in Philadelphia today for a joint campaign appearance. They're trying to bolster the black vote in the state before they head to the polls in November.
Yeah. I mean, they've had a lot of problems in this area, especially with some of the comments the president has made recently. The president's having a lot of issues with, you know, sort of core base of his. You know, Israel is causing him problems, black voters causing him issues. General assessment, the Biden campaign is in absolute abject terror mode right now over the fall election.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. After getting their instructions from the judge, jurors in former President Trump's criminal hush money trial are expected to start deliberations today.
Former President Trump's defense team sought to paint star prosecution witness Michael Cohen as a liar and not to be believed. The state says the former president stood to benefit from the entire plan to deceive the voting public.
Fox's Colonel Scott. The Biden administration says the death of dozens of Palestinians in an Israeli airstrike in Rafah in Gaza is devastating, but does not cross a red line that would affect U.S. support in the war against Hamas.
We understand that this strike did kill two senior Hamas terrorists who are directly responsible for attacks against the Israeli people.
White House spokesman John Kirby. The Israeli military suggests the fire that killed those civilians was caused by secondary explosions from Hamas munitions being ignited. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. It's another warm one, 77 already here in Pensacola. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says charges have been filed against a Pensacola massage therapist that's accused of inappropriate touching by multiple women.
We looked at it as a potential sex crime, but it didn't fit the statutory requirements for that. So we were the only crime that we could identify was the battery charge, which again is the unwanted touching of an individual.
Sheriff Chip Simmons tells Channel 3 64-year-old Joseph Long is now facing four counts of battery. He was arrested May 10th and released on $70,000 bond. Long owns Waterfall Massage on Nine Mile Road. Six women came forward with complaints. Sheriff Simmons says one declined to press charges while another's passed the statute of limitations. Well, not too surprisingly, it looks like it may have been another record holiday weekend kicking off the summer travel season.
Obviously extremely busy. 28,583 passengers were screened. That's not incoming passengers. That's just 28,583 that were catching a flight in planements during Memorial Day holiday.
Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves says that means about 57,000 total passengers would have passed through one way or another. That would be about a 16% jump from last year's Memorial Day weekend travel. Reeves says for the most part, the waits at TSA lines weren't too bad either, although they did peak at around 32 minutes due to some flight delays and staffing shortages. The official start of hurricane season is just a few days away, potentially historic activity looming on the horizon. Yesterday, public safety and information officials from Escambia and Santa Rosa counties held their annual media roundtables to discuss preparedness.
Every storm is different. Granted, they name storms now. And there are times where I wish that they wouldn't do that because some people say, well, Hurricane Ivan, I made it through Hurricane Ivan and it was Category X or it was this, that, the other thing. Really, when you categorize a storm, it only talks about the wind speed. It doesn't take into account the storm surge. That's the killer.
And that is Tom Lloyd, Santa Rosa County's public safety director. As a reminder, the official motto from state and local leaders is no longer the first 72 is on you, but rather 1 week ready. The official start of hurricane season is June 1st. It is 534 News Radio Pensacola. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to see another hot and humid day today with temperatures warming up near 92 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies with a 10% chance of rain. We will have highs near 88 degrees, lows Thursday night dropping near 71. For Friday, we are going to keep the mostly sunny skies around with a high near 88 and just a 10% chance of rain. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now it is partly cloudy and 77 degrees in Pensacola, 78 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Frank Miller with Your Money Now. Well, a new study shows that the number of well-paying remote and hybrid jobs is dwindling. A new survey by job website Ladder says the number of high-paying remote jobs is down nearly 60% over the last year, while the availability of hybrid jobs dropped 95%. Meanwhile, a separate survey by Resume Builder says that 90% of companies are expecting a return to a full 5 days in office before the end of this year. And OpenAI says it's working on addressing safety and security issues. The artificial intelligence company says it'll evaluate and further develop its safeguards over the next 3 months and then give a recommendation to the company's board. The safety committee of the company reportedly consists of company insiders, including CEO Sam Altman. OpenAI says that it's recently begun training on its next frontier model, which it says is industry-leading. On Wall Street, early indicators are pointing to a lower open, this following a mixed outing on Tuesday. And that is Your Money Now.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a 1-carat diamond for $10? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well-maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com or call 934-2768.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know what to buy or sell?
You will need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel Friday at 9 a.m. to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rigi Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Friday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
There are over 15,445 radio stations in America. But out of all those stations, a panel of judges representing the broadcast industry, community service organizations, and public relations firms chose the top 10, including News Radio Pensacola, to receive the 2024 National Association of Broadcasters Crystal Award for exceptional year-round community service. Thanks to you, our listeners. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:39 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew. Okay, it's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, as we typically do. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. Always good to have you. Memorial Day weekend, everything going okay, especially out on the beach. As you know, people always ask questions, how did the beach event go? And in years past, there was, you know, some drama over things not being cleaned up. But in the most recent years, things have been all fairly well organized, well run, low level of incidents, and clean up pretty quickly. I mean, nobody likes it to be a mess while they're here, but nobody likes it for the Blue Angels to be a mess while they're here either, and that happens,
yeah,
right?
If you see our beach after 4th of July, it's probably a little bit
exactly
in disarray as well. But no, I have not received a single call about an incident that took place. I would imagine that we would probably, with all the people there, I would imagine we'd probably have some, some disturbances here and there and some assistance we have to provide people. But by all accounts, it went real well.
Do you typically for that staff, like, is that extra duty? They basically hire security that's your agency?
The Island Authority allocates a certain amount of overtime.
Okay.
So we increase it whenever we think there's going to be a big event. Now, we did, I did allocate some overtime for some events that could potentially have taken place in Escambia County, in the not on the island.
Oh, okay.
So we did have some expense regarding the holiday. But we do that a lot whenever we think there might be some parties here and there, and we want to make sure that we
have. So this is you staffing up, not them hiring off-duty officers.
Right. Well, no, they did hire some off-duty officers, okay. But that's not something that would come out of our budget. So they would have some deputies out there.
Gotcha.
But it went pretty smooth.
We had a couple of incidents in the last week. One was, I guess, over the weekend. You had the way I heard the story was that a DJ at Town and Country Sunday morning, that he got shot at and like multiple times. That's being cooperative, though, is what I also kind of heard you guys saying on Channel 3, I think.
Yeah, we are, as reported, he was working as a DJ and ended up getting shot by someone he doesn't know anything about. And that's that's where we're at.
I'm sorry. I just know you too well that, I the way you describe a story. Go on. So as the tale's being told to us, totally random person came up and shot him, and you don't know nothing about it, never seen these people, and can't figure out any reason why it would happen. Is that what I hear you saying?
Oh, as I understand, I believe he also had warrants on him, so we also charged him, and then he was being booked while he was at the hospital.
Okay. All right. Some mysteries are less mysterious than others, I guess is maybe one way to say that. So you also had two drug houses got torn down. Is that right?
Yeah, we've made a
concerted... Or at least closed down. I don't know if
torn down. We don't tear down houses. We just help.
Not yet.
Not yet. No, the Board of County Commissioners Code Enforcement does a really good job of doing that for us and for everyone else. Our narcotics unit has really been doing a good job of stepping things up a little bit. I've added more people to the unit. So they're doing a really good job. If you can see some of the pictures and some of the drug dealers that we're getting off the streets, I think in the recent past, number 23 and 24, we started to number them so people understand just how effective our narcotics unit is being. Do we think that we're going to stop it all? No, but we certainly going to try. And this is an indication of what we're seeing. If you can see, I'm looking at one of the pictures now on our Facebook page, always guns and drugs and money. And it just, that's the way people end up getting shot. That's the way people end up, overdosing and that sort of thing. So we're glad, and we put their picture out there so people understand who is poisoning our community, who is not doing their fair share in our community.
What's the drug, or maybe there's not just one, but, these things change over time. You've often talked about when you were back in the undercover and working narcotics and, what it was back then. And, what is the trouble drug right now? Is it, you tell me, is it meth? Is it
I say we see fentanyl? Meth. Fentanyl is our number one priority. That's the drug that's killing people.
But is fentanyl on its own or fentanyl that gets mixed in typically with other things?
Well, we've been seizing fentanyl pills recently. So they're either mixing them or taking them on their own. But I would say that we seem to be finding a lot. It's weird because in the past, as you mentioned, it was always you do marijuana, you do this, cocaine. Mm-hmm. But we've seen some crack cocaine come back. People were getting, they're cooking crack. Couple of weeks, we've made two or three cases where there's actually crack cocaine again. So now we have all of the bad stuff. We have the new bad stuff, which is the fentanyl. We have meth that they used to cook in the kitchens. Now they get it so cheap from Mexico that they don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, that's by the way, just to pause you on that, like, this is something that we've mentioned before, but people may not realize is the reason you don't hear about people cooking meth in their cars or houses blown up because they're meth labs is because it's just more cost effective to get it imported from Mexico because they make it industrially in these massive operations and they sneak it across the border.
By the hundreds of kilos and thousands of kilos, they're just coming in from Mexico and it ends up in our community. It ends up in pretty much every community. But we have the mixture of the fentanyl and then we have the meth and then we have the high quality marijuana. We've seen some pills recently. If you've noticed some of the pictures, we've got some oxys, we got some Xanax, we got different pills, a lot of party drugs, but also just The stuff like the fentanyl, that's the mixture.
Is heroin much of a problem for us in Escambia County?
We've arrested people with heroin, but it's not really something that I would be okay. surprised to see heroin on the list of the drugs that we end up seizing on a search warrant.
But I assume that typically when people are involved in this illegal endeavor, they're kind of involved in all of it. You know, the people who deal a lot are not like specialists.
Yeah, they seem to be willing to do just about anything. Yeah. If you can see the pictures of the people that we arrest,
Is there, and this, these are more kind of general questions, but I'm just kind of, you know, you and I don't often talk about this exactly, but, you know, criminal endeavors, you tend to have this picture, like if somebody's in crime, they're doing all the crime, you know, like there's a lot of interaction between. Is there much overlap between, for example, the drug dealers and like trafficking and prostitution, or are they kind of separate endeavors in our community? You know, theft rings, breaking into cars, stealing guns and stuff like that. Are these all interconnected here in Escambia County, or do they tend to be kind of separable by their category?
I think that the way I'd have to answer that is if you look at an enterprise like the car burglaries, you know, if we go in there and we catch a group of people that are doing a lot of car burglars, that's their enterprise.
Yeah.
We don't always find a lot of drugs with them. Now, we find a little bit of drugs almost always.
Okay.
So they're involved in the drugs, but not really the drug trafficking that we have noticed.
Got it.
And the drug traffickers, they're not, I guess they make enough money on the drug trafficking, they don't have to also be, you know, safe burglars or something like that. So while it wouldn't surprise me to see that connection, we don't always see.
And same for like, you know, human trafficking, prostitution, that's kind of a separate thing,
Well, we
not even an organized thing.
Very rarely see the trafficking in drugs.
Okay.
Or the car burglaries and such, or property crimes associated with the people that are doing the human trafficking part.
Okay, that's for me anyway, for having kind of a picture of what reality is. We had a horrible story in the last week, and you know, I hate talking about kids, but this is the kind of thing that, because it might prevent and save a life, I do want to talk about it for a second. We had a young child, an infant, drown in a bathtub.
Right.
With the parent present, but not doing their job.
Yeah. Again, how tragic is this? We had a 1-year-old that, according to reports, he put the child in a bathtub and let the water run or trickle, and then he went to another room and fell asleep because of some Benadryl or some medication he had taken earlier. Mm-hmm. And when he was awakened by another young child that was there left unattended. He woke up to find the child unresponsive in a bathtub. In fact, we rarely charge someone for drownings because they're accidental and they happen, even though the parenting was reconsidered reasonable.
Even when people are active, I mean, especially around pools and things, it can happen very quickly.
Right. And there are people that should be supervising. But in this case, it was a different level. It was, we didn't feel like it was reasonable. Practical or adequate, obviously. Mm-hmm. In our situation, in our thought process, is that you should have known a 1-year-old can't be left unattended in a tub. You should have known you can't take a drug like Benadryl that clearly always says it could cause drowsiness. You should have known you shouldn't have left the child in a separate room from you. You should have known not to lay on the bed and all these sort of things. And to me, and to us, our investigators as well, it wasn't reasonable. Mm-hmm. Now they'll have their day in court, and they can handle it that way. But for us, as you said, we want people to understand that when we investigate these things, we look at the reasonableness, and we talk about that with gun ownership. We talk about that with a number of things, and we don't always arrest. But there are times when we feel like it certainly didn't have to happen.
Right,
and so the charges were brought about.
Horrible story, and you know, I never like talking about kids getting hurt, or getting killed. But it's, again, a learning opportunity for everybody to pay more attention. You know, sort of to realize the things that are going on. There was a story out of L.A., and we wouldn't normally care much, but it made me want to ask you a question
about L.A. or the story.
either one. Yeah. Los Angeles, by the way, not Lower Alabama. But out of Los Angeles, where this actor interrupted somebody stealing his catalytic converter and winds up getting murdered over it.
I saw that, yeah. And the accounts that I heard was he really didn't even try to physically stop him. He just yelled at him, "Hey, get away from under my car. And then the guy just gets up and shoots him. These catalytic converters, if you recall, about a year or so ago, maybe 2 years ago, we had a rash of them.
Yeah,
locally.
They seemed
you
to be all the time.
You couldn't park a motorhome beside a car, a roadway.
We made a number of arrests. We had our property investigators were on it. We did a lot of we had some cars stationed on the side of the road.
Yep.
And you know, to
bait someone, converters.
Yes. Bait.
Betalytic converters.
Betalytic. Yeah. Sometimes I think you need help.
I got Jimmy. You saying Jimmy's not adequate? Oh, that's not what you meant. All right, fair enough.
No, yes. So we had a lot of effort into arresting people that were involved in a catalytic converter theft. And I'm not saying they don't happen. We still get reports of them, but we don't have as many of them here as we did a couple years ago. Now, these things run in cycles, as
right,
you know. And,
right.
And if someone's going to come in town that has an expertise in cutting these things off, they may try to do it again. But it's just, how tragic is that over in L.A.? There's a reason I don't live over there.
And one last quick thing before we let you go. My boys like to go to the range, mm-hmm. okay, for birthdays and stuff for fun. And we went to the range the other day, and it had been a little while since I had gone. And it reminded me of if you don't train routinely,
right,
you're not skilled. And in a moment where you need, especially if you're a concealed carry, as I am, it's the first shot that counts the most. And if your first time practicing on the target makes you feel like, oh, I should be better at this, you should be better at this, right? And I felt that way. And I felt, okay, this is a good reminder. But can you talk about that for a second, about how important it is for training for your officers, but training for, you know, ordinary citizens? And, I mean, I felt bad that I wasn't better first shot. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, there's a fine line there. There's how good do you want to be? I mean, do you want to be a
adequate,
a,
right,
a competition
safe
type of a shooter, or do you want to be able to protect yourself and your family or others?
Or the people in the grocery store or whatever,
right? And I think
what
you just said is a good point, because we try to encourage people to be, A, familiar with the weapon that you choose, mm-hmm. because we had another accidental shooting, by the way, over the weekend.
Oh, okay.
That I forgot to mention earlier. But and then B, you
accidental
you need
for real or accidental?
No,
they're saying
really. They reported, hey, I shot myself.
Okay,
you know,
all right.
I was trying to do this and that, but so you can be familiar. You need to be familiar with the weapon itself, and then you need to be a little bit proficient, so that when you know where to point, because you can't always bring the firearm up to the eye and, you know, doing that sort of thing. A lot of times
things
you have
happen
to point
pretty
and shoot.
Quickly, right?
Right, and so I would also suggest that if you get an opportunity to go to the range, and I hope you do, that you do practice drawing from a concealed area, you know, without shooting yourself, hopefully, so that you can put a couple of rounds. We train, you know, most of the shootings in law enforcement are just within a short, a close distance. Very few shootings take place 10 yards out, mm-hmm. you know, 30 feet or 50 feet out. They're all within close quarters.
It's like 5 to 10 feet,
yeah,
typically,
yeah.
Right?
Or certainly within 5 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that, and that's what we end up training ourselves, you know, in that draw quickly and shoot quickly. Just point to shoot type of thing, and don't sit there and train a weapon and take your time doing it. You've got to, in some cases, shoot to protect yourself and to stop a threat. And so I would suggest that people that go to the range, that when you do that, you train unholstering your weapon first safely. Don't do it the first time with a real round in your gun, but do that very, you know, in a safe environment, and then continue to practice as and get as good or proficient as you feel like you need to be.
And I mean, a lot of ranges don't want you to draw and shoot. You know, they prefer you not to, so you may have to find a place where you can do that. But also, I mean, again, like you say, okay, so stress makes everything worse.
Right.
And if you can carry conceal, you're trying to navigate your shirt tail, you know, and which hand, and did you grab it? Is your finger off the trigger? Did you pull it and shoot yourself in the leg because your finger's on the trigger? Are you stressed and freaked out? Like, all of those things that you guys know to practice, because you have to practice for real, but a lot of people don't think about it, and then they find themselves in a situation, oh, this didn't go as well as it needed to.
You know, we talk about responsibility. Be responsible when you do these sorts of things. We don't want accidental shootings. We mm-hmm. don't want you in your car practicing, you know, that sort of thing. But we do encourage people to be familiar and with the weapon, mm-hmm. familiar with how to draw the weapon, and familiar with how to shoot the weapon.
And I'll just say this because I notice it myself, is typical shooting practice, two-hand Weaver stance, you're all good. But if you're drawing and having to deal with a problem, you know, that's sudden, you may wind up needing to shoot with one hand. You may want to practice that.
Yeah, and like you said, though, where do you practice and how safe of an environment do you practice mm-hmm. that with? Again, take those moments to make sure the weapon's unloaded. Take those opportunities to make sure you're aware of the field of fire.
Right.
And if you do those two things, then you know, you're unlikely to be harmed.
your chances are a lot better, and that's the point. That's why training matters so much. Chief, Chief.
You're dating me.
I've been
chief for 8 years.
You find that offensive that I'd call?
No, I don't find that offensive. I do not.
Sheriff Chip Simmons.
I've been called worse.
Fair enough. Not by me. Sheriff Chip Simmons, great to have you, sir. Thanks for the time, for keeping us safe and keeping us informed. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Feel like it's a demotion for the sir. or a reversion, let's just put it that way. 437-1620, that's my phone number. And if you're thinking about getting that next vehicle, or trying not to think about getting that, you know, my job is to remind you, hey, might be time, right? Because, you know, if I say this, like if I start talking about Frontier Motors and you're like, man, why? That's because you know you need to go, right? And if you're like reluctant to hear it, that's why. If on the other hand, you're like, not talking to me, just got one, or not talking to me, I'm in good shape. But if you're like, Andrew, okay, well, then do something about it. Don't you deserve a car you love? Don't you deserve a car that, you know, treats you right, that you're not embarrassed of, whatever the case may be? Go to Frontier, look around, 300 cars, trucks, vans, sedans, you know, minivans, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that you can buy there. Look around, test drive a bunch of them. Seriously, test drive 4, 5, 6, and then test drive something outside of your category. You might discover that you don't want that thing. You might discover, oh, I see why people like these trucks. I mean, you know, I don't know. The point is, do a little experience. Make it fun, right? Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth and innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
You're a storyteller, negotiator, artist, innovator. Whatever your passion, whatever your skills, behind the scenes or in front, you belong here. A career in broadcast media. Local radio and TV stations in every town and city need someone like you. So do what you love and bring your talent to life. Your passion, your skills, your career. You belong here. Learn more at youbelonghere.media.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Dad, oh, he got all of that one. He's got to be pleased with that. The crowd is just on its feet here.
Good morning, 5:58 on... What, David? What's that look mean? David's giving me a weird look. You just watching me enjoy the music?
Just an unusual song for this show.
You don't want me to play my Ludacris?
No, I didn't say that. I'm not complaining. I'm just noticing that it's a little different.
It's
it is still the 5 o'clock hour.
It is still. Hey, all of these songs are safe for playing on the radio, at least if you don't listen too much to the words. They're not FCC violations. I can't vouch for all of the content or implied content or the euphemisms, but, you know, just the music is fine. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, there's a big hit for the egg market. A chicken farmer in Iowa having to kill 4 million chickens after his farm was hit by a highly pathogenic strain of the bird flu. This is just the latest incident in the recent bird flu outbreak, which has even spread to dairy cows. 93 million birds have been killed since it began in 2022.
As a chickenist yourself, how do you feel about that?
It's scary.
It is.
Very scary.
How would you feel about having to take the life of one of your birds?
I don't like it. I don't like it when that happens.
It's stressing, isn't it? But you still eat chicken, though.
Of course.
You're listening to
News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.